I've been reading this week a website about how to stand out from the crowd. It's a very popular website, actually, on this topic, how to stand out from the crowd. Some of the advice it gives is quite good, I think. Always trying to be courteous, striving to have integrity. But much of the advice is not as deep as that. There's a large section on always dressing stylishly, but the biggest section of all is on posture. Apparently the key to standing out from the crowd is to always stand up and sit up as straight as possible. Well, I'm not too sure about that myself. Down the centuries, the Christian church, at its best, has stood out from the world around it. Not through stylish dressing or upright posture, but through things like caring for the sick when the world neglected them, or founding schools to educate poor children at a time when nobody else could care. Now, the church has been far from perfect, but at its best, it has been different from the world around in a good way. Well, today's reading from the book of Ephesians urges Christians today to continue this tradition of standing out from the world around us. It's on page 1175, and we're looking at Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 32. In a second, I'll read that first verse, verse 17, and I think you'll see why I say it's urging us to stand out from the world around. Verse 17 of Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." It's very strong, isn't it? He's writing to his Christian readers, and he's saying, "I tell you, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you Christians must no longer live in the same way as the people around who do not know Christ." Now, in the first half of the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1 to 3, Paul has been explaining to his Christian readers all that God has freely done for them through their faith in Jesus Christ. He's been telling them they now have a new life in relationship with God and in relationship with one another in the church, his family. But now, in the second half of the letter, chapter 4 onwards, Paul explains how receiving this from God should make a difference to how they live. We see in today's passage the distinctive life that God wants for Christian believers. And it challenges us, if we're Christian believers ourselves, to live in this way that stands out from the world. Now, the way Paul motivates his readers is to tell them, first of all, the change that God has worked in them when they came to know Christ. He says, when you put your faith in Christ, God did a big change in you. And then second of all, he tells them the lifestyle which is consistent with that change that God has worked in them. So first of all, the change that God has worked in us. When we put our faith in Christ, Paul says, we put on a new self, a whole new self. He starts off in verses 18 and 19 by talking briefly about the majority of residents in Ephesus who didn't know Christ. He says, sadly, they're ignorant of God. They don't know him because they've hardened their hearts to him. And so sadly, they don't have the life of God in them, and they've given themselves over instead to a life of sin, indulging in more and more vice and impurity. That's what most of the residents of the town of Ephesus was like at that time. But in verse 20, Paul tells his Christian readers that they are not like that anymore. He says to them that they have come to know Christ. Their minds, which once were ignorant of God, have now been filled with the truth that is in Jesus. And then the heart of our point comes in verse 22, where Paul tells them the change that has happened in them. Now they have come to know Christ. He says in verse 22, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It's so important to grasp this. Paul is saying to his readers that when they put their faith in Christ, a big change happened inside them. First of all, they put off the old self, the self which said no to the old life of disobeying God and ignoring him. Not only did they put off the old self, they were made new in the attitude of their minds, so that deep down they wanted to love and obey God. And not only were they made new in the attitude of their minds, when they put their faith in Christ, God created a new self in them. A new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. When somebody comes to know Christ, God does a deep and supernatural change inside them, creating in them a whole new self, created to be like God again. I love the story of a man called Edward Studd. He lived in the 19th century, and although he was English, he lived and worked in India, where he ran tea plantations. He had two sons who played cricket for England back at home. During his working life, Edward Studd never thought much about Christian things. But when he retired, he came home from India back to England. And at that time, he attended some special Christian services, rather like, I suppose, the festival service that we had last week. And Edward Studd came to know Christ for himself, putting his trust in Jesus as his saviour who died for his sins. He gave his life to Jesus to be his Lord. And some months after that wonderful moment, a friend asked Edward Studd's coach driver if he had noticed any change in Mr. Studd over the past few months. And the coach driver's reply was very good. He said, "It's the same skin, but by heck, there's a new man in there." It's a nice thing to say. Now, that coach driver was right. When we come to know Christ, we put off the old self. And God gives us a new self, created to be like him. It's the same skin, but by heck, there's a new man in there. If our faith is in Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord, then God has worked this change in us. We may not know exactly when. I don't know exactly when it was that I came to faith in Jesus. We may not be aware of this change having happened in us. But if our faith is in Christ, it has. We've put off the old self and put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's the first half of the lesson. Paul wants his Christian readers to realize that a big change has happened in them. They've put on a new self. And now in the second half of the lesson, from verses 25 to 32, Paul urges his Christian readers to live a lifestyle that matches that new self they've put on. He says, since you've put on the new self, well, you should live the new lifestyle that matches it. Or, since you're now different people, you should live a different life. It's a call to live in a way that is consistent with who we now are as those who have put on the new self. I read recently about a woman called Mende Nazar, who in the 2000s, just the last decade, was kept as a domestic slave. It's an example of modern-day slavery. She was kept as a slave, first of all working in a house in Sudan, and then after that working in a house in London. She was kept as a domestic slave in that house. Now, wonderfully, she was set free. And she writes in her book that after she was set free, it took her some time to adjust to her new identity as a free woman. So she would go with friends to eat in a restaurant, and after the meal, without thinking of it, she'd find herself stacking the plates and carrying them through to the kitchens and started to wash them up. You see, her identity had changed. She was no longer a slave. She was a free woman. But it took her time to put on the new lifestyle that went with that new identity of being a free woman. The force of habit, it kept tugging her back to the lifestyle of a slave, which was no longer what she was. Well, so it is for the Christian believer. Our identity has changed. When we put our faith in Christ, whenever that was, we put on the new self. But just like for Mende Nazar, it takes time, considerable time, to put on the new lifestyle that goes with the new self. And force of habit keeps pulling us back to the lifestyle of the old self, even though we have already put it off. Well, to help us put on the new lifestyle that matches the new self that Christians have, Paul puts his finger on five things. And I want to go through them quite quickly. And so you may want to look back over this reading during the week and see for yourself the five again. But first of all, Paul says in verse 25, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body." We live in a world and society, don't we, where lies are terribly common. You hear them everywhere. Promises are not made. Excuses are made up. Facts and figures are falsified on timesheets, expenses, claims and tax returns. And Paul is saying to his Christian readers, such falsehood belongs to the old self, which you've put off. Since you've put on the new self, let us put on also the truthfulness that belongs with it. Let us be known as people of truth, keeping promises, admitting fault rather than excuses, and telling the truth even if it costs us. He's saying put off falsehood and put on truthfulness. Next he says in verse 26, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Now, anger is not necessarily wrong. Sometimes it's right to be angry about something. But we know, don't we, that holding on to anger in our hearts so quickly does lead to sin, whether it's bitterness or hatred or self-righteousness. And so Paul's advice here is to settle things, if possible, that same day, or to settle things quickly, either by letting it go and forbearing, or by seeking reconciliation with the person we're angry with. Especially in the family and in the church family, holding on to anger can give the devil such a foothold for disrupting our relationships. Don't hold on to anger, but be quick to reconcile. Well, the third aspect of the new lifestyle is to put off stealing and to put on sharing. Verse 28, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those who need." Maybe that some of the new Christians in Ephesus had been out and out burglars and robbers before they heard of Jesus. But in fact, Christians must put off all forms of stealing, whether it's literally doing over the post office, or whether it's more socially acceptable forms of stealing, stealing copyright through illegal photocopying, illegal downloading, stealing time perhaps by not working when we say we're working at work. He's saying any such stealing, it belongs to the old self that Christians have put off. Instead, he says, put on what belongs to the new self that you believers have. Put on sharing. And it's interesting to note here that the purpose of work in the Bible is not only to provide for ourselves and our families, but also so that we may be able to share with those in need. And it's that lifestyle of sharing that matches the new self Christians have put on. Next, Paul says, put off harmful talk and put on helpful talk. Verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Now, in our society, unwholesome or harmful talk is everywhere. You hear it the whole time: gossip, insults, taking the Lord's name in vain, joking about sin. These things are so common. People say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But it's not true, is it? Often it's the words that hurt us most deeply. And so the Bible is saying, such harmful talk, that belongs to the old self. Put it off. He's saying to his Christian readers, since you've put on the new self, put on what matches that helpful talk that builds others up according to their needs. Words of encouragement, words of comfort, words reminding people of God's message to us in the scriptures. That's what matches the new self that believers have been given. Paul says at this point in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, God has given believers his own self, his own spirit, to help us put on the new lifestyle. And how it saddens the Holy Spirit when we don't put on the new lifestyle. Well, last of all, Paul says, put off bitterness and put on forgiveness. Verse 31, he writes, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Holding on to bitterness about something that someone has done so easily overflows, either into loud rage or into just quiet malice and slander. But Christians, such bitterness belongs to the old self that we've put off. Instead, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, communion in a minute, we will remember once again how God gave his own son to die on the cross, that we might be totally and freely forgiven of everything. Now, remembering God's forgiveness, there's nothing like that to help us do what is often the most difficult thing and show kindness, compassion and forgiveness even to those who have hurt us. So this is how Christians should stand out from the crowd. Not through our stylish dressing, you may be relieved to hear. Not through our posture, always sitting up or standing up straight, as that website was strangely urging its readers. No, the way Christians live a distinctive life is first of all by remembering the change that God has made in us. When we put our faith in Christ, whenever that was, he gave us a whole new self, created to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. And then remembering the change that God has worked in us, striving with the help of the Holy Spirit to put on the new lifestyle that matches the new self God has already given us. Now, it's a challenge for me, it's a challenge for us all. I wonder if any of those areas particularly touched home with us. Put off falsehood and put on truthfulness. Put off stealing and put on sharing. Put off harmful words and put on helpful. Put off bitterness and put on forgiveness. May God help us do that. Amen.